Well, one of the joys of VBS, both for the children and those who serve, is that it's a week where we meet new friends and we make new friends. Didn't you like that phrase, buddy bench? That's a great, great phrase. Well, what is a friend? What is a friend? And I'm very glad for the topic today. I'm going to make you stand in a moment as we read the Word of God. And I've made it easy for you by printing out the verses in the bulletin. But if you've been following this series on Proverbs, you will know that wisdom is far more than being moral and being good. In the Bible, wisdom is much more. Wisdom is being so in touch with your life and with reality that you know what the right thing is to do, when for others it might be a little bit unclear. And that's why friendship is so crucial. The Bible is going to say to us today, you're not going to be a wise person in this life unless you're good at making and forging good friends. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask a couple of people near the windows, open up the windows, let's get more of a breeze going through. You can open them much more. Let's stand. We're going to read the Word of God from your leaflet. I'm not going to ask you to open your Bible. I could have chosen many other verses from Proverbs on friends, but here are the ones that we're going to read. I won't mention every text, it's there before you. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you. You like that. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. Won't you please be seated? Lord, we've had a wonderful time this morning thinking about you as the God who's for us, the God who will always let us in if we want to come in, and the God who will never let us down. And you really are the truest friend that we could ever have. So who better than the great friend of sinners, who better than you, than to speak to us today about this great topic. So help us to keep focused. We know it's a warm day, but we don't want to leave here without hearing your voice and putting into practice all that you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. It really was a week, I think, of mixed emotions, certainly for me. On the day that the VBS began, also the day of the eclipse, did anybody see the eclipse? The majesty of God on TV. A good friend of mine was buried. He was laid to rest. We had hosted him and his dear wife, Errol and Lynn. We'd hosted them in our home many occasions in South Africa. He was a great Barnabas. That means he was a great encourager to me. There's one person in heaven I know who's, as he's looking upon the Lord Jesus, is praying for me. And one other friend wrote this about Errol. In fact, he was here when I was inducted 4 years ago. He said, that dear, enthusiastic, positive, larger than life, slightly crazy, huge character is dead. Friends, he said, grieve. There's something really special about family. But why would friends grieve unless the gift of friendship is something special? It's something unique. The very next day was my brother's 60th birthday, and one of my younger brothers, who's going through a very difficult time in his marriage, it seems to be falling apart, and who needs a lot of encouragement, you can see everything on WhatsApp. He put this as he greeted my brother on his birthday. You are an inspiration to us all as a brother, son, parent, and friend. And friend. Thanks for everything you've done for our family and me personally, and for being such a great brother and friend. A brother and friend. There is an old Tanzanian proverb. Some of you from Africa know it. It says, to be without a friend is to be poor indeed. And the challenge then, as we come to the Bible, is to ask, what simply is a friend according to God? Just so you know where we're going, and I'll be as brief as I can. What's special about friendship? That's going to be our first point. How to discover a friend is the second point. How to forge a friend, how to make a friend. And then how do we get the power to do that? What's so special? What's so unique about friendship? Take a look at the first two verses on your sheet, but especially at the second one, chapter 18 and verse 24. If you have unreliable friends, God says they will lead you to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Take that in. Take that in. God is saying to us that sometimes a friend can be better than a brother even, or a sister. And the amazing thing is that Solomon is writing this in a culture that was far more family-oriented than very often we are, certainly, in the West. Well, take a look at verse 17 of chapter 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother or a sibling, we could say a sister, brother or sister, is born for a time of adversity. Do you see what he's saying? If you have a brother or a sister going through a tough time, what can they expect from you? Well, they go through a trial. You're going to be there. That's what families do. There's loyalty. There's care. There's memory. Your family generally is always going to be there for you. They may not always like you, by the way. They may not go out with you. They may not hang out with you. But they're going to be there. There's more when it comes to a friend. Anybody remember David? And, you know, we often think of David and Jonathan, and you know, you should read about the great relationship they had. But David had many friends, and he had a particular friend whose name was Ittai. Now, Ittai was a commander of 600 people who chose, they didn't have to, they were not blood tied, they chose to follow David when he was running away from Absalom. And the amazing thing is that we would never know about Ittai except that he chose to stick with David. He was the friend who stuck closer than a brother. You know, we all need friends like that. And what's more important, we all need to be friends just like that. At that point in his life, David didn't need a lecture on how to be a better father. David didn't need a lecture on how to govern the kingdom. He needed a true friend, and a friend, somebody has put it, is the first person who goes in, who's there, when the whole world goes out. And that's what Ittai was. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you that in the day and age in which we're living, and in the mobility of the culture in which we're living, we need to take to heart what is being said here. Very often, our culture puts friendship on the back seat. I mean, you know, in a liberal individualistic culture, what comes first? Sexual and erotic love. You take any magazine that you find in the bookshop or what you read online. What are the articles about? Have you seen any article titled Who's Friends with Whom? I haven't. It's Who is Sleeping with Whom? Or take that great trilogy. Anybody seen the film Lord of the Rings? It's a great, great, great film about friendship. If you've read the book, you know that the romantic stuff, which is important, is actually in the appendices. It's not in the book about friendship. But when Hollywood made the film, they took it out and they stuck it in the center. You see, young people today, we're living in a culture that's not very turned on by friendship. And I want to say to you that friendship is important. You see, if not for erotic love, of course, you and I wouldn't be here today. We praise God for that. If not for family love, we would not have been brought up as we are. If not for neighbor love, we would not survive. But in a busy culture like ours, where many of you are traveling, many of you are working long hours, many of you have got to try and fit in family as well, we got to be intentional about friendship. That's why God brings it out in the book of Proverbs. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're saying, I am who I choose to be. Can I lovingly burst your bubble? You are not. You are not. In the early part of your life, your family shaped you. For the rest of your life, your friends are going to be shaping you. So be sure that you make good friends and that you are a good friend. So how then can we discover a friend? And how then should we be the friend that God wants us to be? And you say to me, what do you mean by discovering friends? Well, can I take you back to chapter 17 and verse 17? One who has unreliable friends, companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, please notice that this isn't a contrast between two equal groups of people. For example, in VBS we had crews. This isn't a contrast between crew 3A and crew 4A. No, this is different. All of us have many school friends or college friends or colleagues, or if you're on LinkedIn, associates. But a true friend, the Bible is saying, is very rare. Now go to the proverb, fourth up from the bottom of the proverbs I've given to you. Chapter 27, verse 9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Can I stick with that word pleasantness? Pleasantness. That was a word used in connection with honey. Am I wrong, or was one of the most favorite stations in VBS the snack station? I know because I often visited it. There were brownies and cookies for Africa. 9 out of 10, those goodies were made with sugar. Did you know that when this book was written, there was no such thing as sugar? Today, you can make any food sweet, but back then, you had to discover how to sweeten food. There was certain food that was naturally sweet, and that was it. And here's the point I want to make. Friendship requires a common love that can't be created. The Bible is saying you can only discover it. Can I quote C.S. Lewis? He wrote a wonderful essay on friendship. He says, the typical expression of opening friendship would be something like this. What, you two? You mean you also like that? I thought I was the only one. That's the beginning of friendship. He goes on to say, and those of us who married need to put it into context. He goes on to say, so though we can have erotic love and friendship in the same person, in some ways, there's something less like a friendship than a love affair. And what he's saying is that most lovers are always absorbed with each other and they're talking to one another about their love, and we praise God for that. We men need to be doing that, by the way, a lot more with our wives. But he says a friend stands by your side because he shares the same passion. And while you may be very different, because you have the same passion, you're being drawn closer together. And that's why I love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you just take a look around. We're pretty different. And not just in ages. I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis again. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. I hope, brothers and sisters, that you are discovering more friends as you are at IBC Brussels. But I also want you to see that if we're only focusing on the horizontal, if we come to church just to make more horizontal relationships, we're not going to be growing in the kind of friendship that is spoken about here. When our common aim is the gospel, when our common aim is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible says, when we discover that, we will know what it is to make friends and to be good friends, which leads me to the question, how can you forge? How can you forge friendships? You know, I've said that you've got to discover friendship, but I'm also going to say to you that you got to build it. You've got to build it. And it takes time. And that's kind of what's coming out here in Proverbs. When I walk in Terfuren, where we live, I walk past the fourth block they're putting up in our complex, and the foundation has been laid, but if only the foundation was there, it really wouldn't be a home that you'd want to live in. So a lot of stuff is going on, and it's like that with friendship. You first got to discover it, and then you got to say, I want to build friendship. Can I say that this isn't going to be for you if you're into what I'm calling icky love? You know what icky love is?
Icky love is always concerned about how I feel and what I'm going to do if others hurt me. I want you to think about the friends, the good friends that God has given to you. Ask if they would still be your friends if they were more into finding a friend than wanting hard to be a friend that you need. And that's what the Bible calls us to be, see? And in Proverbs chapter 3, I'll go through them briefly, we have the marks of true friendship. Evaluate your friendships by this. There's constancy. Constancy. How can you tell a true friend? Chapter 17, verse 17. He loves at all times. Now, does that mean that you've got to be living near him and with him all the time? Well, you laughed, didn't you, when we read, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and they will hate you. This simply means that a friend is available. Can I ask you? And I'm not just talking about Christian friends, because I hope that as we share the gospel, we have all kinds of friends. Are you there for your friends in the good times and in the bad times? Unreliable friends will let you down, but a friend sticks closer than a brother. Would it surprise you if I say that most people only know those who are going to be useful to them? Would that surprise you? And before you get all upset, I think you need to think about the fact that most people we know are useful to us. When you're on a network, you're sort of asking, how's this person going to help me? How's he going to promote me? How's he going to help me have a good time or maybe meet others or get things done? Kind of reminds me of the man who went out hunting with a friend in the woods. And at one point he sees a bear charging and he yells to the other. And then he begins to change his hunting shoes for running shoes. And the friend says to him, what are you doing? You know nobody can outrun a bear. And he says to him, I don't have to outrun the bear. I've got to outrun you. In other words, you're useful to me in hunting, but I'll leave you alone when you're the hunted. Can I ask you, are you a fair weather friend? All right. Or are you an all weather friend? A friend says, let me walk with you in this. Are you walking with a friend through a time of difficulty or pain? Do you know that in your own life? Constancy, but also carefulness. Carefulness. You know, it's one thing to be there, but you've got to be there in the right way. I think I heard Albert shouting amen when I read chapter 27 and verse 14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it'll be taken as a curse. Let's say by way of illustration that next Saturday at 5 o'clock in the morning, I stand outside dear Albert's home and I knock on the door and I say, good morning, Albert, rise and shine, face the world. He may love me, but I'm pretty sure he's going to say, this guy's emotionally disconnected. Does he actually know me? You know, if a friend has cancer, and you say to that person, cheer up, it could be worse, is that friendship? If I could really be happy when you're sad, then there's a sense in which you're not my friend because there's no emotional connection there. And I think those of you who are parents, you probably understand that best. Someone has said that this is the essence of parenting. Once you start to have children, you realize that for the rest of your life, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. Think a little bit about that. I'm not saying you can't be happy in Jesus, but I'm saying there's a connection. There's an emotional connection. And that's the scary thing about friendship. Friendship gives you that voluntarily. You can't have too many of these kind of friends because, in a sense, you can't survive it. Constancy, carefulness, and then candor. That word simply means honesty. 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 Don't we need that from our friends? Look at chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. Sort of midway in the Proverbs I've given you. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Anybody here ever had a friendly wound
When you're injured, you don't think of wounds as friendly, but the language here is important. Friendly wounds, wounding kisses. The friendly wound is a picture of the words, if you are my friend, I may need to say to you, which is going to be painful to you and may be painful to me, but I've got to say them if I really love you. And if I don't say them at all, then I'm not a real friend. And that's why the Bible says, better open rebuke than hidden love. If I say I love a person too much to tell them the truth, then the Lord says, I'm actually doing the work of the enemy and I'm giving them wounding kisses. Speak the truth. Be honest. And we need to be honest with ourselves. And I think if we are honest, we might say that we would like friends. I probably wouldn't mind friends who keep saying to me, you know, you really are God's gift to this world. But is God like that with me? Is the friend who sticks closer than a brother like that with me? He never stops working with us. He never stops shaping us for his purpose. And sometimes it's painful. It's painful. And as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, we could end here, right? And I could say to you, go and do the same, right? You go and be this kind of a friend. But we've got a bigger problem than we actually realize, which brings me to the last point. How can you get the power to be this kind of friend? You see, if you think of the picture of this sort of friend, and I could have doubled the verses in Proverbs. I could have given you more. It's going to do something to you. When you read about this ideal friend, you know, the friend who always will tell you the truth, even when it's painful, the friend who is so emotionally connected with you that when you grieve and you're going through a hard time, you know he's there with you. When you read about that, it's going to do two things to you. It certainly did that to me. You're going to feel a feeling of longing. And I think that's something that we feel more in a church like ours, where people kind of come and go and friends come and go and our friends are taken away from us faster than we can forge. Some of you have been here 15 years and you know better what I'm talking about. Or you're taken away and you go to another city. And if you feel that longing, it's because we actually don't have all the friends that our hearts need. But it's not just longing we feel. Don't you find this to be crushing? I mean, can you read this and be unmoved? When I was preparing and I was measuring myself against this, I know that the reason I don't have such friends is not because life is so fast. The reason is because I am not such a great friend. It's so hard to always let others in, to never let others down. How easy is it for you to be so transparent, to always let others in and never let them down? So where do you get this power to be the friend you need to be so that you can have friends that you need to have? And I think the answer is that night before Jesus dies. He's explaining to his disciples what he's going to do. And one of the ways he does that is through the picture of friendship. John 15, verse 15. Tonight I have called you my friends because everything that I learned from my Father, the Father who always lets you in, and never lets you down, everything that I learned from him, I have made known to you. And when Jesus says this, you understand the whole history of the world in terms of friendship. I don't know what idea you've got about God, but I want to say to you that God is the God who is friendship personified, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We sang. Beautiful to hear those children singing. I have a maker. He knows my heart. He sees my every tear. He's so emotionally connected to me because he's made me in his image. And because I'm made in his image, I too will long to relate to friends. And that is why the gospel is the gospel. You know, when you betray a friend, what happens? Normally they betray you. And the Bible says to us today that Jesus came and said, I am the ultimate friend who loves at all times. I want you to see the heart of God today. The Bible says, blessed are the wounds of a friend, But how much more blessed are they when your friend is not afflicting you, he's not giving you the wounds, but your friend is actually receiving your wounds in his own body. How much of friendship is that? And that's exactly what the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is about. And that's exactly what the children were learning about today. Jesus lost his friendship with the Father in a way we cannot understand. In moments that we can never understand, so that we could have it. And today I want you to see Jesus who lets you in. I want you to see his arms today. I want you to see them nailed open for you. I want you to see him more emotionally connected with you than any other person. Jesus knew his friends would abandon him and fail him. He stuck with them all the way. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, so that we are not ruined. Can I make two applications as I close? Dear Christian, if you know, right? If you know that Jesus has let you all the way in, if you know that God is for you, he'll never let you down, doesn't that free you up to be a true friend? If I know that Jesus will never let me down, then I can move out and I can bless others because my trust is not in the basket of human friendship. When we're freed to be the great friends we ought to be, we find that through Jesus, we get the friends that we need to have. And if you're not ready to be such a friend, maybe you still need to know the friendship of Jesus. And I appeal to you, if Jesus is Savior, if he's Lord over life and death, who else could stick closer to you? Who but Jesus could hold you fast? Run to him. And when you run to him, you will find a friendship that you never knew and the friendship that the world needs. You know, if we think that our friends have got to be like us, the gospel, it just shakes all that. It just shakes all of that. Since Jesus rose, he's been breaking into the lives of all people, wealthy people, poor people, black people, white people, African people, European people, Asian people, American people. So brothers and sisters, don't waste your life as a Christian. Don't do that. Don't think as you come to church, whatever that means in your mind, as you come on a Sunday, don't think, wow, how do I know if I've chosen the right friends? Realize that in his grace through the cross, God has chosen your friends for you. Because you know what God has done for you, because you know that you have a friend who holds you fast, go into the world. Go into the world. And you be the friend that you would like to have. Only through the power of Jesus. Let's pray together. I'm so grateful, Lord, that the gospel makes sense of absolutely everything. I'm so grateful for the joy we saw before us today as the children sang about God who is for us. And if God is for you, no one and nothing can be against you. I thank you, Lord, that whilst we were yet sinners, we were not friends of yours. While we were at enmity with you, Christ died for us. Christ let us in. And now Jesus will never let us down. And so, Lord, today we want to pray that you may teach us how to model the friendship of Jesus in a world that so desperately needs it. Help us not to be so concerned about making friends as being the friend that you want us to be. And help us, Holy Spirit, to put these things into practice in this week that lies ahead. And we will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold, he must hold me fast, he will hold. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost, his promises shall last. Oh, by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast.
Father, we thank you that these words are as true today as they have ever been. As we go out into this week and into your world, we go in the security and in the confidence that you're the one who is holding us fast. And as you do that, Lord, we pray that we may go in the power of the Holy Spirit to be friends with all kinds of people, to be that rare, that valuable friend who sticks closer than a brother. And if we do that at all, we'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.